Hi, Wastelanders. I'm Sean Barrett, your host. And with me is my co-host, Cody Barrett.
Hello!
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. I waited.
Wow, you held that just for the start of the podcast. Yes. Well, with that, welcome to the Utopian Wasteland. Oh my gosh, dude. Seriously. Well, all right. If you're liking our podcast, and after this, you're probably not. But if you are, please follow, subscribe, and like. And I just want to make a note. He is here drinking Fanta Pop.
Not Spawn.
Yeah. No, but it ain't beer. I just wanted to differentiate that he's not drinking beer and burping from that and getting beer belches.
This looks nothing like beer.
Well, for those listening on the podcast and they can't see us,
why would they think we'd be drinking? We don't drink.
Well, they don't know that.
Now they do, don't they?
Now they do.
We're not alcoholics.
No, I drink on occasion, but I don't know that I even have this year. No, once this year. Anyway, welcome to the podcast today. We're back on AI this episode.
Ooh,
because there is some very recent news, some developments, and I think we kind of need some concerns. And even though these things are going on, I'm not sure that any of our lawmakers and people in actual power are paying any attention. So we at least got to tell you about it so we can talk to others.
And for slight clarification, I do know about some of this.
A little bit.
I could not escape from.
Right. Yeah.
So
some of this you've heard about.
You will still get my genuine reaction, though.
Yeah. So we're going to be bending a rule a little bit today. Our no politics rule is being bent just a little bit out of absolute necessity.
This week, sure?
Yeah.
There's no way around it?
There just isn't, because this week, we're talking about developments between a particular AI company and the U.S. government.
Oh! Okay.
And then the U.S. military and some particular AI execs. So, politics plays a role in this, but we're not going to delve deep into that side.
Excuse me,
first up is a company that you may or may not have heard of called Palantir. Now, they've been around since 2003, but it's one of those companies that isn't, you know, they're not public knowledge.
Yeah.
They're mostly government contractors. They do work with other private industries, but, you know, with special software.
Right.
Palantir Technologies is an American company specializing in software platforms for data mining and mass surveillance.
Are we talking like data mining as in like crypto mining? Or
no, as in gathering data that's been gathered by a company or a government and helping to process all of that data.
Oh.
That kind of data mining.
Oh.
Yeah. So they've been working with the U.S. government from their very beginning. In fact, mm-hmm. their first external investment was from the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency's venture capital arm InQtel, along with personal investment from co-founder Peter Thiel. So Palantir's work started with the U.S. intelligence community and the Department of Defense, and has expanded mm-hmm. to a number of government agencies over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So let all that just sink in for a minute. I went through that kind of quick. We diverted ourselves a little. Let this sink in. These guys create software to gather data, make sense of that data, and they also make software for mass surveillance, and they work for the U.S. intelligence community and a bunch of other government agencies.
Okay.
What could go wrong? But they're a private firm.
What are you talking about? Everything is going fine.
Everything's fine.
Right, big brother?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, actually, we're getting to that. I want to pause for a moment and discuss the name. If it sounds a bit familiar, you're correct. Have you heard the name Palantir before, other than, you know, us talking about it? He's going to do a stage freeze. All right.
And the Lord of the Rings. Pause for a minute.
Oh, is that? Wow. Taking this very literally. Okay.
No, and I have not heard of the word Palantir. Please explain.
All right. In the Lord of the Rings novels and movies, Palantir is the name of the Seeing Stone that Sauron, incidentally the main villain, uses to communicate and observe what others are doing. In the story, the etymology of the name roughly means to watch from a distance.
Isn't that in like, isn't that just a scrying orb?
I don't know. In Lord of the Rings, it's a seeing orb.
Okay. I believe in like other fantasy settings. I have no idea. The orb you look into is called a scrying orb.
Okay.
I believe.
Yeah. So anyway, this one.
That's what they named themselves.
Watching from a distance, and that's what they named themselves. Kind of appropriate for a company that does mass surveillance.
So
I mean, way to broadcast. You're the bad guys, potentially.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
it's like, hey guys, we have this great idea. Yeah. We're gonna do mass surveillance on everyone. Now right. We don't want to cause alarm or concern for people.
But
what are we gonna call ourselves? you know, Big Brother just says it all right there. I know, Palantir. I heard it once in a movie. Sounds great.
So why is a discussion of Palantir important to talk about now, considering they've been a government contractor since about 2003?
Again, looking good.
Well, here's we get into the slight little bit of politics, things going on in the political arena.
Here's your politics warning right now.
Brace yourself, trigger warning. On March 20th of this year, U.S. President Trump signed an executive order to direct federal agencies to remove, quote, unnecessary barriers, unquote, to data consolidation. Now, I actually looked up and read the order, and the link to it is in the description. You can read it yourself. So I read it, and there's, you know, in short, it's a directive to stop agencies from holding on to and isolating the information they have, and instead work with a new system to make all known government information accessible to all government agencies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned at all yet.
Right. Well, I mean, there are certainly times where agencies get real proprietary, and they're like, well, we gathered this data. Mm-hmm. You guys over there can't use it. And mm-hmm. so on the surface, they're trying to get rid of that.
Okay.
So diverting again to a little bit of politics related. On a related note, the so-called Big Beautiful Bill that's currently being debated in Congress, as of this recording, the Senate has passed a new version of it. They have sent it to the House, where the House will now begin debating it and tearing it apart, too. Who knows if this is going to pass or not? But they're working hard at it.
We hold no opinions.
That bill includes a section that would prevent individual states from putting any regulation on AI for 10 years.
Huh?
Only the federal government would be allowed to put any laws and regulations on AI and how it is used.
Why?
Well, that's a great question. It's not being met very well by a growing number of Republicans in Congress, even though it's a Republican-sponsored bill. A number of the Republicans have kind of pulled out of it. They're fighting against it. So we'll see. It's caused a lot of infighting within the Republican Party. Just a small update. Since we recorded this podcast, the big bill did finally pass, but before it was sent from the Senate to the House of Representatives, the 10-year moratorium on states making laws about AI was stripped from the bill, so that point is now moot, except for the fact that they did put it in the bill in the first place. Now, combine that with the aforementioned presidential proclamation. So you've got no state can make a law to restrict AI.
Uh-huh.
And we've just passed a law which is going to greatly boost AI use by the government. I will let you, dear listener, decide what you think that means. So, we will be discussing this more in the more information, more discussion part of video that is only available on Patreon. So if you want to dig into it more with us, become a Patreon subscriber. All right, so back to that proclamation. On its surface, there is a lot of good that can come from faster information sharing. Under the surface is the implication of the U.S. government finally building Big Brother to watch us all.
Oh, I was just making a joke.
Yeah, I know you were, but this is what congressmen are actually worried about. you know, people in congressmen and congresswomen are worried about them creating such a thing.
Well, I mean, with AI, it wouldn't be hard.
Exactly. And when you've got every department able to share the information.
Right.
Yeah. So, as reported in the New York Times and Semaphore, and a number of other...
What?
Semaphore is a news agency online. I looked them up. Pretty reputable. They're a good one. Yeah. Anyway.
Semaphore?
It's a kind of information transmission. Anyway, and a number of other news agencies. Palantir is being tapped by the current administration to create the software and tools to follow this executive order. So that's why we're talking about them now. Are you okay over there?
I'm still on Semaphore.
Okay, we'll look up the word later. It's a real thing.
I know, it's fun. It's just...
Yeah. All right. So anyway, backing up, according to a number of outlets, Palantir is being tapped by the current admin to create the software and tools to fulfill this presidential proclamation. Okay. This will include AI systems to analyze and sort the absolutely massive amount of information they already have, and one can anticipate the even bigger amount they're about to start gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, this has caused Republican privacy advocates in the U.S. Congress to criticize the Trump administration's work with Palantir.
Mm-hmm.
As a quote here, "It's dangerous," Representative Warren Davidson, Republican from Ohio, told that news agency. Send before.
Well,
I'm not sure why that's so funny, but
it's just a silly name.
Uh-huh.
I bet it's obviously a serious word. But
it is, and that has to do with communication, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just...
yeah.
Just Semaphore.
Anyway, so, Rep. Warren Davidson, he said, quote, "When you start combining all those data points on an individual into one database, it really essentially creates a digital ID. And it's a power that history says will eventually be abused." Several Republican lawmakers and aides have said they share his concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a side note, Palantir co-founder Peter Thiel is a longtime backer of President Donald Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance. In fact, VP Vance was once an employee of Thiel's. Thiel was also part of President-elect Trump's 2016 transition team. Decide what you will from all that information with, you know, who the current president is, who the executive order came from, and who the well-known, well-connected person is.
Again, we give no opinions.
Right. Form your own. Do your reading. I've got links to all of this stuff in the description. You know, decide for yourself. On the flip side of those articles, Palantir, of course, has answered. The mm-hmm. company posted a statement on X that the New York Times report is blatantly untrue.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first time they've denied something that they've been involved with, and turns out they were deeply involved with.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their Wikipedia listing. Also, CEO Alex Karp told CNBC that the company is not surveilling Americans. Now, I'll add...
You have a lot of pages.
That, yeah, I do. Well, no, there's only two more.
Okay.
I'm going to add that that's very careful wording. We are not...
I was going to say the same thing.
Our
honestly.
Company is not surveilling Americans. Careful wording. The Palantir company creates the systems. The client uses those systems as they wish.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, the client is the U.S. government. So he's accurate in saying that Palantir themselves is not doing surveillance on Americans, but is the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
Unknown for sure.
Can you say the quote just one more time? I want to reiterate exactly what the wording was.
The CEO, Alex Karp, said the company is, quote, not surveilling Americans.
Okay.
Yeah. So of recent interest and concern is the partnership of Palantir with ICE, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, to help with the current presidential administration's mass deportation program. Now, this is not a brand new development. They've been working with ICE since 2014, so with other administrations as well, providing software to help ICE programs. The March 20 executive order, however, would make the work much easier and help them gather data on people to help track them down more easily. This is just one of the many, many controversies around Palantir. So again, I've got the Wikipedia link to the Palantir company in the description. Go down to controversies, read a little more about them. You really probably should know and do your own searches. A reminder, links to all of the articles, again, are in the description. So while some actions of the government using AI are certainly concerning, is it a necessity in other ways? So according to Palantir CEO Alex Karp, again, the answer is a very loud yes. In a June 5th interview with CNBC, Karp said there is an artificial intelligence arms race between the U.S. and China that will lead to one country coming out on top. And speaking personally, I can't disagree with him. There really is, and we don't want someone to be way ahead of us because of what they may or may not do with it. He goes on to say, quote, "My general bias on AI is it's dangerous," Karp told CNBC. He was talking on their show called Squawk on the Street. Yep, I knew you'd love that one. Yeah. Okay. So back his. Sorry, I said that right when you took a drink, didn't I? Okay. Compose yourself. Da-da-da-da.
Stupid.
Thank you. All right. So he was talking to this show on CNBC, and he said, quote, continued, "There are positive and negative consequences, and either we win or China will win." He says that the U.S. currently has the advantage in AI development, and that our allies around the globe are going to have to learn from the U.S. because other than the U.S. and China, nobody else is advancing AI development as fast as we are.
And I'll reiterate one more time. We are not giving our opinions. We are holding our opinions.
Yeah, this is just the stuff that's going on.
This is purely...
Our opinions will be in the articles. Further discussion. We'll have a little more of that there. Anyway, so...
No politics.
Keeping all that in mind, that transitions into a related and also very recent development.
Uh-huh.
In June of this year, the U.S. Army created a group called Detachment 201, the Army's Executive Innovation Corps.
Okay.
This is an effort to recruit senior tech executives to serve part-time in the Army Reserve as senior advisors. The goal is to speed up innovation within the Army by bringing in people who all are already experts. In short, why reinvent the wheel when you can bring in experts who are already doing these things? So it makes sense. In short, the U.S. military knows that it is technologically behind the corporate sector when it comes to computer technology and AI technology. They know they need to get caught up. I'm just going to glaze over that one. You know,
say they're not at all in the slightest.
Certainly no. Not.
There's a few things I can name that are
yeah.
To
that goal, on June 13th of this year, the Army swore in four tech industry leaders to serve part-time in the Army Reserves. Although none of them have previous military experience at all, each of them were commissioned as lieutenant colonels. Talk about rising in the ranks.
How many people do you think that have been working their entire careers to get that rank?
Are salty
right now, just because some nerd with glasses that just happened to know coding
yeah,
and knows about this AI stuff a bit.
Well, they're a little more than just nerds with glasses. It's really top guys, but...
Still.
But I'm sure there are some that are a little salty about it. But also, you know, if they're really part of the culture of the military, they realize that they've just brought in guys who have been earning their experience in other places. So maybe it's... I mean, somebody thought it was a good idea. So, anyway, it's been noted that none of them will recuse themselves from business dealings with the Department of Defense, but it'll be okay. The newly commissioned lieutenant colonels are Shyam Sankar, who is the chief technology officer of Palantir, Andrew Bosworth, Chief Technology Officer of Meta, who apparently I read somewhere that the Zook was very enthusiastic of him joining. We've got Kevin Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg, whatever. I think Zook sounds better. Then we've got Kevin.
That's his name.
Well, whatever.
Kevin?
Kevin Wheel, Chief Product Officer at OpenAI.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob McGrew, advisor at Thinking Machines Lab and former chief research officer for OpenAI. Every name is just hilarious to you today, isn't it?
McGrew.
Yeah, McGrew.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No,
sorry,
not.
Man. You were probably teased a lot in school, weren't you? I was, so I understand. It's okay. So, according to Future Tech on Instagram, as reservists, they'll each be contributing about 120 hours per year to the U.S. Army.
Oh.
Additionally, they cannot work on projects linked to their own companies or share proprietary information. Oh, and yes, for those wondering, they did in fact have to pass weapons and fitness qualifications.
I was going to say, I kind of hope so.
Yep, they actually did. Yep, so this is seen as just the start of encouraging more tech executives to work with the Department of Defense without sacrificing their careers.
Say, I think it'd be wiser to put a lot more people them in the military.
That's their hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Purely because they need to work.
And that's why, well, that too.
They're sitting at their desks all day. They need to move.
I saw the photo of these four guys, and they're way more fit than you and me, so I can't say a word.
Okay, well, fair.
they looked like they were doing fine.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah. So there we go. What do you think?
Chose wisely.
What do you think there, dear listener? Do your own research. Share your thoughts in the comments, if you wouldn't mind. Please, though, seriously, do your research first. Get educated about this even more than what we've done and more than we've told you. Know the facts and then add your personal take. Let's not just be crazy armchair warriors spouting about things we don't actually know about.
As we're sitting here as armchair warriors
spouting about
things
that
we
don't know
about. Nothing about.
Yeah, actually, well, I had days of research on
that. That is true. You did do a lot of research.
Yeah, it took me a few days to put this script together and track all this stuff down. So anyway, that's it for this episode. Thank you for joining us today, and please keep listening. If you like this podcast, please tell others and encourage them to listen. Everyone needs to know this stuff, especially with these kind of developments. And I mean, absolutely everyone. Tell your parents, tell your grandparents, tell them not to trust AI stuff that they see on social media. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. Then also subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would really like the numbers. It'll help us. If you like what we're doing and want to help us create even more, we invite you to become a patron on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. Patreon patrons get exclusive stuff.
Little as $5 a month.
For the low, low price of $5 per month, you at least get to see some exclusive videos and you have the privilege of watching us record this podcast. At higher levels, you get some merch and stuff. Kind of fun. Of course, we're also on social media, and you can find all of our links at utopianwasteland.com. So there we are. Until our next episode, remember, you can ignore technology, but it certainly won't ignore you.